Going to do a little homily or a sermonette, make Christian it. Not going to give you any false hope. I'm going to speak the reality. The kingdom of God is an impenetrable force. It is governed by the person of God and the laws that he established, the spiritual laws that he established. The kingdom of God is an impenetrable force. Say that with me. The kingdom of God is an impenetrable force. And it is it supersedes any natural law, physical law, because every natural and physical law that is known by man, and there's probably many that we don't know of, in the universe that's holding this universe together and expanding it at the speed of light, was created by the most powerful spiritual force in existence, and that spiritual force is the living Word of God. Woo-hoo! Yeah! Everything was created by the Word of God, therefore everything is subject to the Word of God. Say that. Everything was created by the Word of God. Therefore, everything is subject to the Word of God. There are forces in the world today that were in the world 6,000 years ago, that were in the world 4,000 years ago, that were in the world 2,000 years ago. And those forces, every single one of them, were defeated by the very person who lives inside of you.
Amen.
And by his Spirit, that raised Christ from the dead, that same power dwells in you. God didn't skimp back and say, no, you didn't do this last week, so I'm going to rein back. Uh-uh. That is worldly thinking. That is mentality. That's works mentality, and it won't fly in the kingdom of heaven. It doesn't matter where you've been, who you are. God forgives sin. God forgives mistakes. God forgives a lack of study. I'm going to give you an example of this. Lori brought up Larry Ollison. He was ministering one night at a meeting, and the Lord wanted to heal people, and people started coming up, and there was a prayer line, a healing line for people. You don't see that in a lot of the mainline churches, do you?
No.
No. But in the church, when we do what the works that Jesus did, healing is all over the Gospels. And it is not to be withheld from God's people. So, but Larry, he felt about as anointed as a dry sponge. Didn't really feel it. How many of you know it doesn't matter what you feel?
Amen.
If 2 + 2 = 4, that doesn't affect my feelings. It's a fact. When you confess the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you're saved.
Yes.
No matter what you feel. God is not a feeling God. He's a spiritual. He is a spirit.
Amen.
Jesus said that in John chapter 4. I think verse 24, 26. He said, God is a spirit. Well, Larry Ollison wasn't feeling like the anointing. And there was a guy in the back. And he said, you know, I'm not saying this to... This guy had his head all turned around like this, and it was down here. He had an arm that was down here and twisted up in his back, and his foot was turned around backwards. The guy was so twisted up, and I don't know if it was arthritis or whatever it was. It doesn't matter. He was in bad shape. And this is what Larry said to himself. He said, gosh, I hope he doesn't come up for healing. No. Well, he starts at the healing line, comes down, and there he is, right there in front of him. And he's walking. You know, he's walking best as he can. Larry looked at him and says, "Do you want to be healed?" And he said, "Yes." He said, "Okay. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, be healed." All of a sudden, his foot started coming out. His displaced shoulder. Displaced shoulder started coming. His head that was twisted out. And he was totally free, totally normal. You can't turn your leg around like that, like he was. And it was totally normal. And Larry was amazed. You see, when we base our faith on feelings, then we'll always rely on the Lord rather than acting on his word, regardless of feeling or not feeling. The name of Jesus has power. The name of Jesus has been given among men whereby they might be saved, they must be saved by that name. And that word saved means salvation, healing, deliverance, prosperity. It means all of the avenues are included in that name. That name, when you speak that name, heaven gets activated. When you speak the word of God, heaven becomes activated. When you speak the word of God, God sees it. When you speak the word of God, angels stand to attention. When you speak the word of God, the Holy Spirit says yes. He never says no. He says yes. When you speak the word of God, God is in that word.
Amen.
And the angels follow that word because the word is God.
Amen.
Oh, you've got to understand what happens when you speak the word of God. You've got to understand what happens when you speak the word of God. There are agencies that come to life. And the whole New Testament, the covenant of God and all the power that he has invested in that covenant becomes available. When you speak that name to somebody, to a lost person, you know what happens? You tell somebody about Jesus. What does Jesus do? Matthew 12, I think, at 10. Matthew 10 says this. 10:32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father, which is in heaven. When you speak the word of God, when you speak the name of Jesus, and all that Jesus did, the redemptive rights and privileges, Jesus goes to the Father and he says, "Look at Lori, look at Dwight. Look at Leah. Look at Evie. Look at them. Let your face shine upon them. Bring them your favor, your glory, your power. Make it manifest." Then he goes a step further in Luke chapter 12. He says this in verse 8. "Also, I say to you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God." The ministry of angels is activated when you speak the word of God, when you confess Jesus before men. And Jesus is the word. So if you speak the word, that's included in that. Do you understand what's going on here? You need to speak the word of God. See, the word of God is seed. And like I've said before, you have an inner ear and an outer ear. The reason you know that is because the first time you ever heard yourself on a recording, it didn't sound like you, did it?
No.
I remember the first time, I was about 9 years old or something. My father brought one of those big reel-to-reel home from work, and he said, let's record it. And I played it back, and I understood my sister and my brother, but when it got to me, I said, "Well, who's that?" And my dad says, "That's you." See, you hear yourself different. Than the world. That's because you have an inner ear and an outer ear. And when you speak the word of God, this is where confession becomes reality concerning your salvation. That whosoever shall say Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you're saved. Because what happens is when you speak that word, your inner ear takes it and puts it down in your spirit. Your outer ear hears you. It doesn't really hear you. Your inner ear is what you hear. And that's what your spirit hears. And when you confess Jesus as Lord, guess what happens? It goes. But until you speak it, that word, which is seed, is never planted. You can carry your logos to work, put it on your car seat, carry it with you wherever you go, leave it on your coffee table, do whatever you want with that logos, with the Bible. But until you start speaking it, nothing happens. Until you start speaking this word, nothing will happen. That's a guarantee. Whosoever shall say unto the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. That's God's record. This is God's record. And you say, well, and when you hear stuff like this, immediately you start thinking like, really? And you start questioning it. You know, people question, should I go see the doctor on this, or should it be just faith? Doctor or faith? If they asked me that, I'd say, go to the doctor. Why? Because they asked. They're not in faith if they're asking. Any question about it negates your faith. But when you start speaking the word and speaking the word, it goes down in your spirit and it starts to get planted and it starts to reproduce after its own kind. The love of God, the peace of God, the faith of God, and all the attributes of God start springing forth and renewing your mind. And what happens is it brings transformation that dissolves all the questions, that dissolves all the doubts. When Paul spoke at Mars Hill, the guy says, well, half of them said, well, we got to come back and hear this guy. I mean, he's a dissolver of doubts. That's what they call. Yeah, it's like, wouldn't you like to dissolve people's doubts? Amen. Well, that's not going to happen until you start speaking the word and dissolving your own doubts, because you can't reproduce what you don't have.
Right.
Amen? Amen. You got to understand, God lives in you. In the person of Jesus Christ, his word created everything that there is. The principles are governed by him. And when you obey those principles, when you walk in the reality of those principles just have to come. They govern the blessing of God. Should have got. Thank you for that thunderous silence. Oh. We talked about meditating on the Word of God somewhere in this service before. But meditating on the Word of God is not only something that we do, it's an awesome blessing to us. It's an awesome experience, and as we continually do it, we'd be changed. But meditating on the Word of God, which means speaking it throughout the day. For instance, what we just said before. And you don't have to speak it loud, just speak it. I am of God, and I have overcome them. I have overcome demonic forces, fears, doubts, unbelief, and everything that comes out of that demonic force. I have overcome them, because greater is he who's in me than he that's in the world. You know, just be a continual meditation of these things. Meditation means to speak. It means to mutter. It means to run it through your mind, roll it over. It means to meditate. It's like the Hebrew term is chewing the cud. So as you keep meditating on it and it regurgitates and you keep on doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it, pretty soon it'll start to assimilate into your physical man, into your emotional makeup, into your mind, and when your mind is renewed, you'll be transformed.
Amen.
But meditating on the Word of God is how the blessing of God is established in your life. The blessing of God frames your life. Look at Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1, David said this. He said, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor, what, sits in the seat of the scornful, you know, the complainers and the gripers and bellyachers. But his delight is in the law, or the word of the Lord, and in his word does he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, it brings forth his fruit in his season, whose leaf also will not wither, and whatever he puts his hand to do will prosper. Whatever he does shall prosper. Well, how does that happen? Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, or the word of the Lord, and in his word does he meditate day and night. Day and night. If you don't like your life, if you're unhappy or unsatisfied with things about your life, meditate in the word. Then it'll take you right out of the seat of the scornful, the road of sinners, and the counsel of the ungodly, and it'll cast all that stuff out, and you'll rise above it and walk in the blessing of God, and the blessing of God will start to produce in your life. What is the blessing of God? Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28. I don't have any of these listed because God seems to be taking a different turn than I had prepared for. Here's the blessing of Abraham. In verse 1. 28. Deuteronomy 28. And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command you this day, that the Lord thy God will set you on high above all nations of the earth. Oh, boy. We wouldn't be concerned about China or Russia if we walked in the blessing. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, if you shall hearken unto the voice of the Lord. Blessed shall you be in the city, blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall the fruit of your body be, blessed the fruit of your ground, the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your kind. This includes your pets. We have a 17-year-old cat right now who's just living in the blessing. Yeah. Blessed shall be the basket of your store, your business. This is the first 14 verses of Deuteronomy 28 is the blessing of Abraham, and the rest of the whole chapter is the curse of the law. So when you try to obey the law, don't do it for justification and for salvation purposes. The law is not there to save you. It cannot save you. You could do all the Ten Commandments. Let's say from this day, right now, that you obeyed the Ten Commandments perfectly to the end of your life. Do you know that there's no law, there's no provision under the law that covers the first part of your life that you didn't obey the law? And there is no mercy for that? Something has to die? That's when they got into animal sacrifice. And the Day of Atonement, and all the blood sacrifices of the Old Testament, and all the blood sacrifices of the Levitical priesthood pointed to one person and one day that would all be paid for. There had to be a day, and it was the day that Jesus went to that cross and paid for the whole thing totally. And it's done. Up until that point of time, it was a credit system. It was a system of credit where that blood could cover your sin until Jesus went to the cross. But you notice, after Jesus went to the cross, the blood sacrifices all ended. They don't do them in Jerusalem anymore. They don't do all of that. What Jesus did, and we're seeing some of the effects of this now, and get the concept of this. When Jesus, during his 3.5-year ministry and his death, burial, and resurrection, totally destroyed Judaism in its traditions, in its legalistic vows of the law. It totally destroyed all of that in order to justify people. And he raised up and at the same time established the church. Then what happened is Judaism started reacting And they started enforcing circumcision and the law and following this, that, and the other thing, and all of these traditions of the Father. What happens is Jesus and the third great awakening that's going on right now. The Lord showed me this about 2 or 3 months ago when we were on a Zoom meeting. But what's happening right now is Jesus is pulling things together. It's happening. Right now, it's happening. You can't see it, but the root system is happening. And what we're seeing now with all of this Marxism and all of this mudslinging and deception and lies and to people don't know what's going on, and sexual confusion and all this stuff they're putting in the school, all this is a reaction to what Jesus has already been doing. There's a displacement coming, and the devil knows it, and he's very, very sad. And he's very, very mad. But we keep holding forth the word of life and keep on walking in the truth, and he can't touch us. Woo, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm. That's God's record. And it's God's doing, and it is wonderful in our sight. Amen. Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man. You ought to pick this up and just say, you know what? I'm blessed. I'm blessed because Jesus paid for my sins. They don't belong to me anymore. I am not just covered, but I am. Those sins are completely gone. My old man is destroyed. I am a new creation in Christ. I am blessed of God. Oh, we're going to. I want to do so many series. I want to do a series on the blessing of God. I want to do a series on angels now. I mean, you think about this. You know, it says in Hebrews that God didn't say to the angels all of these things. No, he said it to people. And he sent the angels to be ministering spirits for those who are the heirs of salvation. We've let these things slip. And that's how it happened. In Hebrews chapter 1, let me see. Hebrews chapter 1, it talks about this. Glad I brought my Bible today because I didn't write any of these down. Hebrews 1:1:1 says this. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? Verse 14 says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who shall be heirs of salvation? That's you and me. God has sent forth the angels to minister, to serve. That word minister means to serve. To serve the heirs of salvation. That's you and me. He has sent the angels to serve us. He has sent the angels to respond to the spoken word of God. He's sent the angels to do things. There are many kinds of angels. There's warrior angels. There's guardian angels. There's messenger angels. What other kinds are? There are service angels that are sent just to be a certain thing. You know, Abraham had angel visitations. You remember when Lot was being delivered, rescued from Sodom? And because he was attached to Abraham, that's why. Your family members are attached to you. We got a better covenant than he had. Isn't that good? So that's why protection. We can count on God's protection for our families. About 2 different roads just opened up to me, but I got to finish this one. To the point where it just knocked stuff out of my head.
Angels were with Lot.
Angels were with Lot. And you know what the angels did? Remember what they did? The men of Sodom wanted to do perverse things with those angels because they were beautiful. And what they did? They blinded them. And brought Lot out. You know, and you can go through the Old Testament and see all of these visitations of angels, people. Daniel. You say, yeah, but that was the Old Testament. We have the New Testament, and it's the Holy Spirit and Jesus. Da, 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 da. That's what traditionalists A good Baptist will tell you that. Well, I beg to differ, because the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 8, after Philip went to Samaria, got them all saved and delivered, and then John and Peter came to get them filled with the Holy Spirit. And then it says that an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip and said, go this way, and connected him with the Ethiopian eunuch that brought the whole gospel down to Ethiopia. There's a little stronghold there that needed to be busted up. Cornelius, angel appeared to him, said, send for Peter. He's going to tell you what to do. That hasn't stopped. Angelic visitations have not stopped. They are here to serve us. When we speak the word of God, share the gospel, speak the name of Jesus to people. When somebody comes up at work and has a terrible problem, you say, well, you know what? Come on over here. We're going to pray right now, because Jesus has already taken care of these things. Let's pray. Angels stand at attention to see what you're going to say, because what you say is their assignment. Just the same way when Elisha said, more are they that be with us than they be with them. The whole hill was filled with chariots of fire, just ready to do whatever Elisha said. And you have a better covenant than Elisha had. You have the blood of Jesus totally separating you unto God and giving you an inheritance that is unbelievable. We need to get involved with that. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. Unshakable trust. Unshakable trust. Go back to God's record. What did God say? This is God's record. What are we thinking? What are we speaking? What are we doing? Is it in line with God's record? If it's in line with God's record, the power is released. If we're doing what we feel is best, what our opinion is, what we've learned in the past, this is what we've been taught, it's not going to work. What we've done is the same thing they did, and I was talking to Evie about this earlier this morning. What we've done is the same thing the Christians did in Jerusalem. When Paul went back to Jerusalem, he was going on a rescue mission to preach grace to people Christians who had gone right back into the law. And they wanted to kill him. They turned a kingdom culture into a church culture, and it just didn't fly, and it brought them right back into the same bondage they were delivered from with the blood of Jesus. Right into works. Right into this, that. Look, rid yourself of works. There isn't anything that you can do to enhance God's life one iota. Hoo-hoo! Not one thing you can do. There's no one thing that you can, but if you fill your heart with the word of God and speak it out of your mouth, I'm telling you something, angels will start to get circumstances, they'll start to produce situations for you that will make it easier for you to preach the gospel and get people saved. You say, well, they would never receive it. Don't you judge them. Don't tell God that they won't receive what you say. If he puts somebody in your heart to speak to them, do it. Yes. Be doers of the word. Amen. For whoever, what is that in James? James chapter 1. I wrote down a few things here. It's a matter of finding them, because I'm so out of order today. Let's go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. But be doers of the... Verse 22 says, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Verse 23, for if any be a hearer, not a doer of the word, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass or in a mirror, and beholds himself and goes away and forget what manner of man he was. Say this. Hold your Bible right up to your face. Say, this is my mirror.
This is my mirror.
This tells me what I look like in heaven.
This tells me what I look like in heaven.
This tells me what my spirit looks like.
This tells me what my spirit looks like.
This tells me who I am.
This tells me
who I am. Gives me my identity.
This is my mirror.
And I behold myself in this mirror,
and
I act accordingly.
And
I speak accordingly.
And
I walk accordingly.
I don't render evil
for evil,
but
I overcome evil with good. What is good? The gospel, the word of God, the power of God to meet the needs of sighing, dying, crying humanity. Two. God loves them. He died for them. Come on. People are not your enemy. And in fact, if you have the keys of the kingdom of heaven to unlock the power of God to kick in the gates of hell that are right in their mind, blocking them and blinding them from the truth. You have the keys of the kingdom of heaven that will kick in those gates. That's where the gates of hell are, by the way. They're not down there. He's referring to the gates, the strongholds that he's really spent a lifetime building up in people's mind to blind them. It says, if our gospel be hid, is hid to them who are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded their minds. Those are the gates that we can kick in with one little word. If it came from God, through you to him, it'll kick in the gates. It'll knock over sacred cows. It'll destroy religious traditions. And they'll see how real Jesus is. So what did he say here? Verse 25. But whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty, that's the word of God, by the way, is the law of liberty, and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. That means you'll be blessed. What is the blessing? Everything you do will prosper. Your leaf won't wither before its time. You'll be by the tree planted by the rivers of water. Amen. There's one amen and two nods. That's pretty good. Come on, guys. You got to get with me on this. You got to get with me on this. Get in this tub with me because this is good water, living water. Living water. Settle it now. And I'm going from thing to thing to thing to thing here today, so follow me if you can. Settle it forever about the reality of the new birth, the reality of the recreation of the human spirit, the reality of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the reality of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. The reality that the word of God cannot return to him void. When you put it in your heart and speak it with your mouth, it goes to him and it will not return void. This is building an unshakable trust in who God is and in who you are in him. To trust what the word of God says above how you feel. You may not feel anointed, but the name of Jesus is full. Cram-packed full of all the anointing you'll ever need if you speak it. If you speak it. Speak his name. Speak his word. It will not return void. You carry the signature of God. That signature is a stamp. It's your spirit is stamped. That's the spiritual circumcision, by the way, that was represented under the old covenant. That you have been stamped, etched with God's own signature in your spirit man, and the devil knows it. He sees it, but he doesn't want you to know about it. Not up here. But you renew your mind. I am of God. I don't approach trials from the standpoint of something that I have to overcome. No, I don't approach those for victory. I approach them from victory.
Right.
Because I am of God and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in me than he that's in the world. Greater is he who's in me than he that's in the world. Greater than cancer?
Amen.
Greater than AIDS?
Amen.
greater than any name that is named, not only in this world, but in that which is. His name is greater than all of those things. His name is great and greatly to be praised, greatly to be spoken and proclaimed. And when we proclaim Christ, he stands up. The God the Father comes to attention to it. Why? Because he loves his Son. And his Son is the Word. And when we speak the Word, it will not return to him void. It activates angels. It activates the Holy Spirit to fall all over those words and to make them happen. You know, that happened in Cornelius' house. Peter, while he yet spoke, the Holy Spirit fell on them. What did the Holy Spirit fall on? It fell on Peter's words, the gospel that's in your heart and in your mouth too. If you want a fresh new touch of the Holy Spirit, I'll tell you something. I'm here, and I'm going to lay hands on you. I want you. In fact, let's all stand up right now. If you have never received Jesus into your heart, I'm going to give you that opportunity right now. Say this. Let's all say it together. Jesus is my Lord. From this moment forward, I confess with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. I believe in my heart, God raised him from the dead. He's alive. He's alive in me. I've been forgiven. I've been bought back, redeemed, and restored to God. And he holds nothing against me. That's the word of the gospel. See, in the Old Testament, they used to confess their sins. That's what they were doing with John the Baptist. But in the New Testament, the confession of the believer is Jesus is Lord. Amen?
Amen.
The name of Jesus, the name above every name. The name. And if you're born again, that qualifies you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you want the Holy Spirit in your life to empower you, to be a source of encouragement and love and comfort to you for the rest of your life, it says he will come to you and he will abide with you forever.
Amen.
Independent of your works, your mentality, or anything, he's there because he loves you. And he has a life for you. He has a future and a hope. God is a good, wonderful Father who loves you. Nobody can be better. Hey, Jesus is the most exciting person you will ever meet. And if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I want you to come up here. Not that you haven't been filled in the past, but if you want a fresh touch from the Holy Spirit, a fresh flushing of the Holy Spirit, God's willing to do that for you right now. Come on up. Come on up.